Which I'm really happy about. The reality, of course, is I would love to have, 20 million viewers right now. So whatever I say, I could get nasty hate mail, but it doesn't work that way, it doesn't matter what people say, there's always going to be somebody that's going to disagree with you no matter what. They're just going to disagree with you. If you say, this food is the best food I've ever eaten, they're going to be arguing with you saying, no, it's not so good. Whatever it is, it's raining outside. No, it's not raining. That's not rain, it's a good thing. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our current event show. This is our 144th meeting on Wednesdays, 5 o'clock Las Vegas time, and you figure out where you are from there, East Coast, 8 o'clock. Welcome, everybody. Remember, everything you hear today is an opinion. We talk about whatever comes in our mind and how it affects us. And let's get started. So before I throw up what I want to say, does anybody in the room have anything that they would like to say?
I'm good. Life's
Good. I'm
good.
glad to hear it. Did everybody have a good week?
Yep.
Yes.
Well, good. This week we could talk about, and I've been teasing this now last 3 weeks because we didn't I just didn't have time to get into it. But Does Money Buy You Happiness by Dr. Robert Waldinger. He's the director of Harvard Studies of Adult Development and co-author of The Good Life, discusses lessons learned from the world's longest scientific study on happiness. So we will talk about that somewhere in the show. But every, don't worry, be happy, to quote Bobby McFerrin. And I think everybody knows that, but of course, I'm sure there's people that would disagree with that too. So, did you hear about this? So, did you hear about the flight to nowhere? These people were on a flight from Auckland. It took 16 hours. They went 8 hours, and then something happened when they got to New York. The technical aspect of New York JFK Airport had collapsed. And rather than land at a different airport in the United States, the pilot opted to turn the flight around. So these people were on the flight for 16 hours. And when they got off the flight, they were in the same place where they started in New Zealand, Auckland.
Wow.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's 16 hours and you got off the plane and you're in the same place. That is crazy, especially if you're sitting like in the back of the plane. I mean, that's got to be a horror show because now you've got to do it again.
Well, why did the pilots do that? That choice just seems irresponsible.
Yeah, I mean, well, the link is
It's an international flight. They may not have had a clearance to go to another airport if they didn't have the right customs people there.
It's very possible. Absolutely very pop. Whatever it is, all I know is it's Bloomberg's reporting it. So, and if Bloomberg's reporting it, that's got to be real news.
So the
And
sad part
again,
to
there are
that.
people that would argue with me on that, so.
So the
That
sad
makes
part to
sense,
that, Jan.
Brian.
The sad
Say
part to
that
that,
again.
the sad part to that, Jan, is they got 0 air miles.
Oh my God, that is really sad. Although I don't know if air miles are working these days. Actually, a friend of mine is flying to Thailand, and he was able to use his points to fly Korean Air, which is really cool, because lately it's been very difficult to use points to fly anywhere due to the fact that the airports have been, closed. But now that COVID is officially over, all of the hubs are opening up and there's a lot more flights, so it's easy to get around. Has anybody been flying lately?
No,
not I.
Yeah, I was just in Vietnam and I had to fly. And I'm going up to Bangkok. It seems there's a lot of flights now. It used it, at first it was very difficult to find the flight, and they were expensive, but now the prices are going down and there are plenty of flights, so it's a good thing. Anyway, let's see. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the industry of touring. It seems like it is going to be one of the busiest years ever. I am reading so many acts are out on the road right now and heading out for the spring and for the summer and fall. Like, for example, Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band, he just added 22 dates to his 23 tour. 18 cities. He's doing some international stuff as well. He's going to be on August 9th. If you're in the Chicago area, he's going to be at Wrigley Field, and then in San Francisco on December 9th. That's Bruce Springsteen. Now the Eagles are out. Santana is out. Bruno Mars is out. And there is a new venue that opened called Thunder Valley Resorts. And it's it's a 4,500 seat Indian casino up by Sacramento. And it really blew my mind on how many acts they have. They have a minimum of two shows a week of almost every, you know, every act you can imagine. I mean, Eagles, Santana, Bruno Mars, they got Fluffy, the comedian. It's just so many acts. So let me ask you something, Brian, what's happening in your marketplace?
It's going, there's a lot of acts coming out. So the Spectrum Center is booked with a lot. The new owner of the Panthers is allowing stadium style venues in the Bank of America Stadium. So we're keeping busy there too. So, and the fairs and festivals are kicking in. So,
yeah, it seems like everything is back to normal. It seems like Las Vegas is busier than it's ever been before. People are coming and going like crazy. And even with all the sports betting that's been going on, you know, all the states allowing sports betting, Las Vegas has become even more of the Mecca now than ever before. You know, it just seems like people, you know, there's the original and then there are those that would like to be the original, but can't be because they weren't there in the beginning.
Don't forget, David Dansky is touring with Charo again all over Florida.
That's right. That's right. I was hoping he would stop in. Mike Brown's in the room, ladies and gentlemen, the owner and operator of one of the top, and I'm saying this because everybody who goes to Cavlo seems to think that this is one of the best shows out there. Everybody's friendly, lots of giveaways, good swag, and you're going to be in Las Vegas with Cavlo this time, is that right?
Yes, all seven people who have gone to Cavlo think it's the best show.
Do you have a date yet? I couldn't find a date for the Las Vegas show.
How could you not find a date? You go to the website and it says May 3rd and 4th.
Oh, it's up now? It wasn't on last week when I posted it in our chat.
It's been up since January 3rd or 4th.
Really? It wasn't, because I did post the link, but there was no date. It just said in May.
Let me know when you're going to be in the office. I'll come show you how the internet works.
Oh, that's very funny.
Literally.
That joke is so old. That was written just before they wrote the screen door in the submarine joke. You know,
yeah, but I have proof because we put the link in.
And she's not talking about Matthew McConaughey and the Lincoln lawyer either. That's what she was talking about.
But yeah, I see it up now, May 3rd or 4th.
So tell us about it. What's going on? How is it going to be different in Las Vegas than it was in Dallas or Nashville or?
Well, some things will be the same, right?
Because where's it being held this year?
It'll be at the Orleans.
Again. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I like the Orleans, and there's a couple of reasons why we choose the Orleans. The Orleans would be the only thing that I would change about the Orleans. Well, there's several things, but the main thing I would change is if the ballrooms were on the ground floor. Ballrooms are on the second floor, so to load in, you got to get the freight elevator and all that jazz, right?
I would like to change the location of the Orleans if I could, but it's all right. I'm not going there anytime soon.
Where would you move it to?
I like it at Orleans.
What's wrong with that location? It's a phenomenal location.
Well, maybe if they widen the streets around Tropicana and the 15.
Well, maybe they're doing that right.
They're
now.
They're doing that right now.
Maybe there you go.
Maybe there'll be four lanes in each direction in about a year and a half.
Wow! Amazing! Amazing.
Yeah. So the Orleans is great. Free parking, lots of food options, you know, all sorts of budgets. If you prefer to stay at a branded property, you know, because you're a points person, there's Marriott's and Hilton's nearby, so you can, you know, use your points or make more points. And we did a survey with exhibitors. We sent a survey out to all of our previous exhibitors last fall, and there's a few things that you know, there's three or four things that they love about our show and the reason why they come back. And one of them is that there's no drayage, there's no cartage fees, there's no, if you can just walk your stuff in yourself and set it up. And if you have bigger stuff like the LED wall people, they tend to have bigger road cases. They ship them to me at my shop. We consolidate everything and we come in. And since I'm the guy renting the room, the Orleans does not charge me to use their dock. So we bring all that stuff in. And again, it's free. And I can only do that because the Orleans is a non-union property. So that's one of the things that you'll find at every Cavlo, is that we're at non-union properties so that we have no drayage, no cartage, no handling fees for the exhibitors. And because of that, we get a lot of repeat exhibitors and we get a lot of variety in exhibitors, which is good for the exhibit, for the attendees. So the attendees are probably going to see some stuff that they wouldn't have seen otherwise. They're going to see some brands that if they wanted to see them at Infocom or NAB, they'd have to walk all the way to the back of the hall because they're smaller companies and not necessarily companies that don't make a good product or don't make a useful product. There's a company out of, where are they based out of? Actually, I don't know where they're based out of. The rep that I always deal with is out of Texas, but I know that's not where the company is, called SCT, Sound Control Technologies. If you're doing anything with conference rooms and controlling, trying to use like a Crestron or an Extron or a Kramer control system to control somebody else's PTZ camera, you need SCT, but they are a smaller company. So typically, even at Infocom, their booth is 10 by 20. And by Infocom standards, 10 by 20 is a small booth, right? So that's going to be in the back. We put our biggest exhibitors at the back of the room. So if you came there to see the Platinum exhibitor or the big speaker company or whomever, you got to walk past all the smaller booths to get there. We call it the grocery store mentality. That's how we build our show floor. So it's good for everybody. So it's a good variety.
It's the Costco chicken thing, you know, yeah, where you got to go to the back to get that free chicken, you know, exactly. Basically. Yes.
And we do, you know, we do 35, 40, 45 exhibitors, depending on what city we're in and the size of the ballroom we're in. So it's an easy one day show. And one thing you did say, all joking aside, people love the fact that they can just visit and hang out with people and it's not rush, rush, rush. And I got to scan a million people and we've got a quota to meet. And, you know, if you're not buying in the next month, I don't have time to talk to you right now. And it's not like that. It's a very, very, very attendee friendly, hype free kind of show.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Very, very cool. I'm glad that you're here with us today. So what's the big scoop in Las Vegas today? What's the biggest scoop that's going on in the entertainment capital of the world?
You probably already knew about U2.
Yeah, U2. Now, U2, the band, is going to be the resident band at the Sphere when it opens?
They're not saying resident. They're just saying they're going to be the opening act, and they'll be there multiple nights, and they'll return next year for more multiple nights. But it's not a residency. They're very clear about that.
Well, Garth Brooks is very upset that he's not the one opening it, because it seems like you can't open a can without Garth Brooks being there. You know, it's basically, you know, it's like he's opening every major stadium, you know?
Yeah, no, I think U2 is a good choice. I drove by just kind of by accident, trying to avoid some construction last night. I drove by the F1 site where they're building the paddock, basically the paddock, the start finish line, the garages and all that, and it's already four stories up. I was amazed. They are flying on that. So,
and it's not till the end of the year, right? It's not till November.
Yeah, it's end of November. So they're moving on that. And then by the end of the year, we will also have done a bunch of construction around Allegiant Stadium because the Super Bowl is in Vegas next year. What else is going on? Yeah, we are loaded for bear. It is looking like right now they're predicting that March will be the busiest month for hotels in Vegas ever, in Vegas history.
Wow. That is impressive.
In terms of occupancy and just the, you know, high percentage of rooms they've sold already. It's looking like March will set a record.
Wow, that's crazy. Some of those
people,
that's crazy.
Myself included, who didn't think we needed the Fountain Blue because what the hell were we going to do with 3,800 more hotel rooms on the Strip? And apparently we need the Fountain Blue.
Wow. Well, now, what, isn't there more hotels coming online? Didn't I read there were more hotels as well?
Well, one actually fell out just south of Fountain Blue at the far west end of the new West Hall of the Las Vegas Convention Center, where the Rio, not the Rio, where the Riviera used to be. Mm-hmm. A Chilean developer had bought that, or he'd put a deposit down on it. And he was going to develop a, you know, many-story casino resort. He already owns a couple in South America. And he bailed, actually. He forfeited his deposit. He walked away from $7 million, I think. Just he said with the rising interest rates, he can't swing the numbers right now. But that means that piece of land is now up for sale again. And I'm sure the convention authority would love to get somebody else to put a $7 million deposit down on it. And then if they come through, great. And if they don't, they don't. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be more hotels. There's no doubt about it. Oh, yes, there actually is another one over down by Mandalay Bay. They just announced.
What about downtown? Isn't downtown expanding as well?
Downtown isn't expanding too much because there's just not a lot of land left to expand onto. But everybody's sprucing up. I actually spent about 5 hours at the Fremont earlier today, and they're in the middle of a complete top to bottom remodel, and about a third of the casino floor has already been done. I was impressed. Very good looking, very clean, very crisp, new food court. It looked great. They think they'll be done with the entire casino floor by football season, more or less. And hey, if you want to eat at a Tony Roma's while you're in anywhere in Nevada, there's only one left, and it is at the Fremont Hotel downtown.
Wow.
Oh,
that's
wow,
where
there's
they
a Tony
filmed
Roma's there.
Yeah, the Tony Roma's is where they filmed, what movie was it, Goodfellas, that they filmed the...
No, that was the Tony Roma's that was at Sahara and Sixth, and that is now a Hustler adult store.
Ah, well, there you go. For those people coming to visit Las Vegas, that's a place to go. There you have it. You know, so thank you for sharing.
That is the parking lot where the infamous bomb under the Cadillac, and for 1 year only, they had put this metal reinforcing plate, and that's what kept Ace alive, and so on and so forth. Yeah, that actually did happen in that parking lot.
Las Vegas is an amazing town. If you haven't been there, you should definitely make it a point to visit with the 53 other million that are flying through. And it's, you know, the airport's really nice, and cities, people are great. People are great. They're from all over the world.
Yeah, there's new news. They're moving forward on building a second airport.
Really? And that's down in Jean?
Yeah, they're going to do it down at State Line, and that'll be for commercial air traffic only. So all your FedEx and UPS and all that, Atlas Freight, all those people, that's where they'll go. And that'll free up all that ground space at Harry Reid for more passenger traffic.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. They've been building that and talking about it. And finally,
got a couple of federal approvals they were waiting on. You know, studies had to be completed, blah, blah, blah. It's still probably 7 to 10 years away, honestly. At least now there's motion. Oh, and the high speed rail line received its approval from the feds on both right of way and environmental considerations for the
Is it going to Victorville? Is that where it's still going?
Yeah, well, there's two legs. The Victorville to Vegas leg is the one that got approved this past week. The Victorville to LA, somewhere in the LA area. I don't know exactly where. That one is still pending. They'll get it though. So that helps because what'll eventually happen, that station is going to be at the southwest corner of Warm Springs and Las Vegas Boulevard, across from the outlet mall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that empty land.
Yeah, that huge chunk of dirt that's out there.
Uh-huh.
And the gentleman who is the managing partner of Brightline Trains has another business interest which is he owns the Aston Villa Football Club in
Aston Villa, I guess, yeah, right?
In the UK, in the Premier League, right? He and his partner in the Premier League have already signed a letter of intent to create an MLS team here in the US, Major League Soccer. It is likely they are going to do it in Vegas, and they are going to build a 30-ish thousand seat stadium on that land right next to the train station. So it'll be high-speed rail station, MLS soccer stadium, which of course can be used for concerts and on, you know, monster truck pulls and whatever else. And they are also going to do a commercial slash high-end residential, high-end high-rise residential development. So it'll be a whole work, live, shop.
It'll be a whole complex. Now, it's also, this is going to be the first, if I'm correct, it'll be the first high-speed rail system in the United States.
Correct.
Which is crazy. You know, yeah. Everywhere else they've got high-speed rail.
And what's funny is we consider it high-speed. The Japanese are laughing at us. because it's only like two-thirds the speed of their train, and it's like three-quarters the speed of the European ones. So they're chuckling about it, but it's still, for us, it'll be a big deal.
It's still high speed to us. That's yes. It. Yeah,
and they estimate it will take 3 million cars off of I-15 per year.
That's good. 3
million carloads of people will either put their car on the train, because you'll be able to do that, or just take the train and then Uber once they get to Vegas.
Almost like the Boring Company, what they did in that, right?
Well, that's not going to take that many cars off the road. It's a big joke. I wish, don't get me started.
Well, actually, Tesla is taking more cars off the road than that. They're taking off 362,000 cars due to self-driving crash risks. I don't know if you heard this, but Tesla is recalling that many cars because of the full self-driving assist software is not so self-driving assist, and it's dangerous. So over a period of time, Tesla has to recall over 362,000 cars. That is a ton of cars.
Well, with the accidents that happened over the weekend or the last 7 days out, I can see it, you know, where people just suddenly crashed and died.
But well, the most humorous thing, it isn't obviously the people dying. It's right up until they made that announcement, there had been this huge Twitter feud going on between this gentleman that owns a software development company that develops, among other things, self-driving autonomous software for vehicles. And he had just been hammering and hammering and hammering Tesla for weeks about how their self-driving doesn't work. It's not really autonomous. I don't know if you saw the story 3 or 4 weeks ago where it came out that Elon Musk had faked the video that he released like 4 or 5 years ago about self-driving. Was completely fake. There was actually somebody driving the car. Tesla kept just hammering right back at him. And, you know, you know, we're going to sue you for slander. We're going to sue you for this. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. And on Twitter, one of the most passionate, aggressively passionate little fan groups of any particular thing or another are Tesla owners. They are vicious on Twitter if you attack Elon, right? And they were just hammering this guy and pointing out that he didn't know what he was talking about and he was just a jealous competitor and blah, blah, blah. And even Tesla was getting in on it. And then all of a sudden, we got to recall 350,000 cars. And now they've got nothing to say. they suddenly got, wait a minute, the guy was telling the truth. Never mind, sorry.
Well, it's interesting because basically right now with that, I was just thinking about what we're saying, and this is an opinion show and everything else like that. And now the Supreme Court of the United States is looking into it because there are two cases. One is Gonzalez versus Twitter, and basically it's about we have this thing in our Constitution, I guess, or it's not in the Constitution, whatever it is, Section 230 of some bills.
It is in United States Code, And it is
communication code.
Yeah, loosely tied to the First Amendment.
Yeah, the Communication Decency Act, section 230, okay? It's a federal law that courts have repeatedly said provides broad protection to tech platforms. And now, and they're probably not going to do anything about it. The Supreme Court is probably not going to do anything about it. But if they do, then, you know, everybody, it'll just basically break the internet, because we wouldn't be able to have a show like this. Because if somebody said something, and even if I say it's an opinion and somebody disagrees with us, like, let's say, you know, Elon Musk saw this and said, you know what, Mike Brown's wrong, but Jan Landy is hosting this thing, so we're going to sue Jan Landy.
Yeah, Jan. He's got money. I don't.
You know, that's, you know, hey, well, I don't know about that, but, you know.
I do.
There are certain people that think I do.
Well, you know, cash is in his name, so.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend thinks I got money. Don't tell her I don't. You know, that's it. You know, that's it. So.
But did you hear yesterday's argument? During the middle of the argument, the justices were saying, well, what does this mean? We're justices. We're not tech people. We don't know where that fine line is. They were admitting that they don't know how to rule on it because understand the technology. So.
Yeah, the feeling I'm getting is that they're going to bail on the whole thing. They're just
they're just going to kick it back to Congress and, you know, let them deal with it.
This isn't our purview. Congress needs to figure this out. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're scared of making a ruling because they don't understand the depth of how everything works.
That never stopped them before. I don't know why it would stop them now.
So, Jan, you know, you were talking earlier about the flight delay, the 16-hour delay.
Yeah.
Japan Airline Flight 331 on the 19th took off an hour and a half late from Tokyo going to Fukuoka Airport, F-U-K-U-O-K-A. It arrived at the airport at 10:10. They refused to let it land because they had a cutoff at the airport at 10 p.m. They had to fly to Tokyo.
That's crazy. Well, you know, a lot of crazy things going on in the world. So, Kurt, what's happening up in your neck of the woods, Seattle? Is it warm up there? Is it sun shining? Is that what's going on?
Not at all. It's cold and it's just starting to snow outside.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that was the big news for today. I live downtown, mind you.
34 and snowing.
Yeah, we didn't have snow. We had grapple, but close enough for us.
What is grapple? That sounds like something you don't want to eat and your mother forces you
to eat. Like a bad breakfast cereal.
Grapple is like halfway between snow and sleet. It's like snow, but it's pellet-like and it's a pinch harder.
You're making this up as you go. Remember, everything's an opinion here. That's it.
Grapple. It looks a lot like when you break styrofoam, like a chunk of packing styrofoam or something, and there's always a few of the little individual balls that break free. It looks just like
grapple. Grapple. I get it.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, middle of the day, it started grappling at my house.
I wonder if they throw grapple at the floats in New Orleans, because I guess today is what, Fat Wednesday? Is that what they call it?
Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday.
Yesterday was Fat Tuesday.
All right, there you go. Ash Wednesday, Fat Tuesday, you know. What's tomorrow? Thursday, right? That's it, you know. Well, I've got news for you. It's already Thursday for me right now.
Dan, what have you given up for Lent?
My sanity. I've given up my sanity.
Really not much, but okay.
Yeah, I'm not giving up much, but happy Mardi Gras to everybody, and Carnival down in Brazil. I can't tell you how many carnivals I was in Brazil, and it is an amazing place to be. If you ever get a chance to go down to Brazil for Carnival, it's a wonderful experience, or at least it used to be, you know? So anyway, an interesting thing. I want to talk a little bit. We're talking about concerts and stuff like that. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are going back out on the road. I think this might be their first time that they're ever taking their comedy show out on the road. And that should be really hilarious. Those they're very funny people. And another thing that's happening, which is very interesting, Garth Brooks, because we mentioned Garth Brooks, Irving Azoff, and James Dolan, and a few other people, they're going to be live at Polestar talking about what's going on with ticket sales, bots, all of that aspects that would happen with Live Nation. And it's interesting, if you don't know who Irving Azoff is, Irving Azoff was like one of the top managers of the 70s for rock bands. I mean, he was the manager of almost everybody at one point in time, such as that was out of the Eagles group. You know, so anyway, it's kind of interesting that they're doing that. I haven't heard of Irving Azoff doing anything public in a long, long time. So this must really be getting down to the nerve section of them, of being Live Nation being split up, because he basically formed Live Nation. It's my understanding. Anybody have anything, comments on that?
Good. Split them up.
Yeah, I think it's that, you know, too powerful as it is. But, you know, I heard this great quote, and it, even though it has nothing to do with ticket sales, but it has to do with just the what's going on with cryptocurrency out there in the world. You know, it's very big news right now, what's happening. Sam Bankman, another fraudster out there. But basically, this woman from, I think she was Yahoo News, she was talking about Yahoo's financing, and she describes cryptocurrency is the definition of cryptocurrency is an endless supply of greater fools. You know, because that's basically what it is. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme on cryptocurrency. It's basically worth nothing, but it's only worth something if you could find somebody who would buy it for more. Nothing there that you can grab hold of it. And so I don't know what you guys are thinking about cryptocurrency, but I do know that it's something that people do want to use, but I don't know if it's ever going to hit the mainstream because there are certain countries that have it banned. Also, I don't know if you know this as well, but in Las Vegas, or Nevada, there were certain cryptocurrencies you couldn't buy. They wouldn't let me. Like when I was in Florida at the time, a few years back, with this Dogecoin business that was just, you know, everybody was getting into it in my circle of friends, and they were all making tons of money. And I saw it, and I figured, hey, you know, I can invest $1,000 and triple, quadruple, whatever my money. But I couldn't get into it because of the restrictions of living in Nevada. So anyway, thought I'd bring that up. Did you guys hear about this Bible, the oldest Hebrew Bible, one of the most important singular texts in human history, will go on sale, and they're expecting it to go for an auction at Sotheby's for somewhere in the neighborhood of about $63 million.
Wow.
Wow.
What are you going to do with it once you have it?
I guess read it, I guess it must be in the original language, and English wasn't the original language. And speaking of auctions, the first generation iPhone. Now this blows my mind.
Where'd Kurt go? I hope.
He had to drop. He's
next to you. I hope I didn't offend him. I stepped all over him when he mentioned snow.
I don't think, you know, he's got a better constitution than that. He's not going to be. But did you hear that an iPhone, the original iPhone, it was from 2007. The guy happened to have it in a box. He never opened it up for whatever reason. And it got $63,000 at auction.
Wow. Was it the 8 gigs?
I don't know. It doesn't say. The article didn't say. So people, we were talking about Super Bowl and how they were doing those the floating stands that Rihanna was on and their bands. It turns out it was two ZackTrack Pro servers, and it translated the position of the data for the moving platforms so that the lighting fixtures can be programmed to them when they were in motion. Mike Brown, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's made by a company called Tate Towers, a very famous staging automation company. And they have an office here in Las Vegas. And I'm proud to say that they have employed not more than one full time for sure. And I think a couple of interns from the EED program at UNLV.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, those are super smart people, because there's a couple things that are very cool about that system. But the one of the coolest things, what you mentioned, is that they can then cue it using DMX to not only run the lights that are on it, but also run the position so that they the platform is in sync with any automated follow spots. So that, and then at that point too, cameras. So a lot of that kicked back to PRG. Also, a company that has hired graduates from the EED program, because PRG was doing a lot of the lighting and video work for that show. So, yeah, you know, I'm not a huge Rihanna fan. I don't know her catalog well enough. I didn't recognize most of the songs. And I'm a bigger fan of the Super Bowl halftime shows that have multiple artists. I already made my pitch online for who I think should be in the Vegas show next year. But you know,
I missed that post on LinkedIn. I missed that post. Why don't we talk about it now?
Let me just finish this thought. I was very impressed with the technical sophistication of this year's Super Bowl halftime show. There was a lot going on last year. I don't know if you remember, it was the, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre. It was all the kind of the West Coast hip hop scene show. That one had, you know, a couple cool things, but really that one was all about the performers, the songs, and the choreography. This year, I would say the tech side kind of outshone the artist, in my opinion. But anyway, so here's what I think needs to happen at the Super Bowl halftime show next year. Obviously, Wayne Newton has to open it. There's just nobody else. It's got to be Wayne Newton. And then Wayne Newton would introduce
Garth Brooks.
No, not Garth Brooks. He'd introduce Panic at the Disco, who would segue into Imagine Dragons, followed by Ne-Yo with The Killers.
These are all Las Vegas acts, if I'm correct.
All Vegas acts, and they're all Grammy winning. Well, I take that back. I don't think Panic at the Disco has won a Grammy. But they're all, other than that, they're all Grammy winning Vegas acts. And I would go out on a limb and say The Killers are a first ballot Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee.
Yeah, they're very good. I would say that Garth Brooks played a Super Bowl?
He has to have.
I don't think so.
Well, it's possible not, because most people don't realize nobody gets paid to do the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, you have to pay to do the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I read that in an article that the artists, they pay for all the production, but they don't pay the artist.
Yeah, so last year, Dr. Dre foot the bill, the whole bill. And it was roughly a chunk. And then this year, it was Apple.
Yeah, they the Super Bowl spends about $2 million, but I think the year before last, they dropped $7 million above the $2 million on it, is what I read.
Well, I think Garth Brooks has sung the national anthem once for the Super Bowl, but I don't think he's performed.
Yeah, so, I asked my daughter, you know, we were talking, I said, well, who do you think should be Super Bowl halftime next year? She was like, well, Taylor Swift, of course. I'm like, why? She's like, because it's Taylor. And I'm like, and so she looked it up, and it turns out Taylor Swift has been asked twice and has politely declined both times. Probably because she doesn't want to pay for it. She's like, the hell with that. Why would I pay? You pay me.
You got to throw the Blue Man Group in there.
Oh, yeah. That's Las Vegas.
You know, there's something to be said for some Blue Man Group, some Cirque type stuff.
Yeah. I like Imagine Dragons show and The Killers. Kind of
carnival looking thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it would seem to me now that I would think that Garth Brooks is really associated with Las Vegas.
Well, he's not from Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, I don't see.
Yeah, that. I just don't see him.
Yeah, and we've had enough Garth, okay?
Yeah.
Garth can go. Yeah, well, you know, what can I say?
But I would love to see Imagine
Dragons. I'm going
to
go with your daughter, Taylor Swift. I got it. Yeah, that's
Oh, no. We don't want Taylor Swift.
The Killers introduced. The Killers introduced Taylor Swift. There you go.
No.
Oh, Brandon would never go for that.
No.
No. He would basically say she can introduce us if she likes, but we're not. But we need Jabberwockies.
Oh, yeah. The Jabberwockies would probably perform too.
it could be a whole Cirque show. I mean, I think, you know, if you were going to do it that way, it might as well be designed by the Cirque people and then have all those acts that you say.
Yeah, and we
that would be cool
because we're just shooting for second best, right? Because the best halftime show ever was Prince, and nobody's going to top that. So we're all shooting for second best.
So bring the Blue Man Group in to do the national anthem
on the drums. Yep.
On the PVC pipes.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of money, I don't know if you know. Did you know what Prince had to pay for having the rain come on that day? He actually hired weathermen to create. No, I'm only joking with that. I'm only joking. But it was an amazing performance because it was raining. I really believe that the rain really, really enhanced that whole performance. You gotta go look.
I don't know if you've ever watched the making of video of it. The producer of that show was the one who had to call Prince and tell him, you know, it was like 8 or 9 in the morning, and he called his hotel room and said, "Hey, it's raining, and the forecast is for more rain, and it's going to rain until tomorrow. There's this game is going to be played in the rain. The halftime show will be in the rain. What do you want to do?" And he said the phone line got quiet for just a second, and Prince just said, "Well, can you order more rain? Make it rain harder."
Yeah, make it rain purple. That's it. You know, could we add some purple to that rain?
And he said everybody was on pins and needles because they were like, "Hey, you know, can you just sing, and we'll run the guitar off stage. We'll have a guitar player play guitar off stage, not in the rain, right? Not have this electric guitar hooked up to a whole bunch of electrical stuff in the rain." Prince was like, "Yeah, screw that. And give me my
life." He's one of the premier guitar players that ever lived, you know. He's an amazing, I actually worked for him for 2 years at the Glam Slam. So I got to see him play in a very intimate environment many, 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 many times. And I have to tell you, although I didn't like him as a human being, as a performer, he was amazing. You know, it was like I wanted to hate him so much, but he was so talented. It was hard to hate him.
Jan Landy, I have never, ever been jealous of you until right now.
Yeah. No, it was the Glam Slam. What do we have? 500 people in the room. You know, I mean, I got to see him play with hardly anybody in the room. You know, he would come out on a rainy night when nobody would be in the club, and he would just be playing and playing and playing. It was like amazing. Got to meet a lot of people through him. Because, you know, people would come, artists and movie stars would come all the time to see him perform. You know, you would call him up and, you know, "Hey, I'm playing tonight at the club. You want to come down?" And a lot of jamming going on. So really fun, really fun time. But don't be jealous of me, you know, if you're going to be jealous of me for something, just be jealous of my looks, my good looks. That's it.
So the other side of Prince, my brother works at the Capri Theater in North Minneapolis, and that's where Prince did his first public performance. At the end of the second night, Sony told him that they weren't interested in him. He didn't have stage presence.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, I got one more Prince story. I got a Prince story that I'll share with you, okay? So I was working for him, and his production manager, a guy named Chip, came to me and says, "The boss," and everybody called him the boss, Prince, you know, when they referred to him, they didn't say Prince, they called him the boss. "So the boss wants you to do something, you know, he's got an act, and he wants you to run a boombox for this act that he's got." And I said, "Why me? You know, I can get somebody, you know, you don't need me." "You know, the boss said he wants you to do it. So you got to go do it." And so I go down to this dance rehearsal studio, and it was Carmen Electra. And my job was to play the tape and the boombox. They would do their dancing and then rerun the tape. And I got to hang out with Carmen Electra and watch her do her first performance before she broke into the LA market. And then many years later, she was hosting something at the Hollywood Palace. And I was there just as a bystander. And I was backstage and she saw me and came running over to me and gave me a big hug and said, "It's good to see you again." And she remembered me. It was many years later that she still remembered me. Everybody wanted to know how I knew her. So now those listening
got such a warm reception. That's really what they
That's
wanted.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, but evidently I wasn't her type because I think Dennis Rodman was more of her type than me. And I don't think I have anything in common with Dennis Rodman. But what do I know?
Have you ever killed somebody with your speedboat and then gotten the hell out of town and denied you were ever there?
No, I don't have a speedboat. I'm denying having a speedboat.
Dennis Rodman.
I'm denying having a speedboat. That's it, you know? So anyway, all right, let's talk about happiness. All right, let's talk about happiness. And I gotta
be asleep at 7.
You know, it's basically happiness. Happiness, happiness, happiness.
Thank you for stopping in, Mike.
You're welcome. Good night, everybody.
All right, bye. Take care of yourself and stay happy. And remember, you make it happen. So basically, there's a doctor named Dr. Robert Waldinger, and he's the director of Harvard Studies of Adult Development and the co-author of The Good Life. And he discusses lessons that he's learned from the world's longest scientific studies on happiness. And what he says is, number one, is that money won't get you happy. Money will not make you happy. He says, he basically says that that's not what it's all about. Money can't buy happiness, but it's a tool that can give you some security. Basically, what he says is that career success also doesn't equal happiness, but the number one thing that makes you happy is close relationships. And it's not the quantity of relationships, it's the quality of the relationships you have, and to be stable in that. So the conclusion of the study was that good relationships are the single most important variable for having a happy life. And that I thought I would share, which is pretty cool, because having a relationship is really where it's at. And I have been, I have some friends that I really cherish in my life, but to be in a one-on-one relationship for the first time in my life is really made me very happy and has changed me to the point where, I feel like life is really, really good. So I thought I would share that. Anybody have any comments on that?
No, I agree with you. I've been in one for the past 3 years, moved to Albuquerque because she has a first grandchild, and I love it. I'm in a good place.
Well, congratulations. That's great. But
the most important thing is health.
Yeah, health is really important, but the thing is you got to live every day as if it's your last. And that's a hard thing to do. But the reality is you never know, it seems like when you get sick pretty quick. It's like you go to sleep feeling good and you wake up and there's a pain, and then you got to go to the, pain doesn't go away and you're dealing with it. It's not like it comes on over a period of time where you have a warning that you're going to be sick. It just seems that when you get sick pretty quick.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So speaking of getting sick pretty quick, unfortunately, I just want to say rest in peace to Tim Carver. Tim Carver, who won 2 World Series during, he was a Major League Baseball player. And then he was an announcer. He died at 81. And of course, Richard Belzer passed away this week as well. You guys might know him as a detective on one of those TV shows, but I got to play with him. I used to, he was a performing comedian. He was a star at that time. He's one of the top comedians. And every once in a while, I'd be fortunate enough to open up a show for him at the Comedy Store. Me and about a million other people. It wasn't just me, I was just an amateur looking for 5 minutes of showtime, on a stage. And, but I did get to perform on the same stage that he did. So rest in peace. All right. With that in mind, anybody have anything that they want to say?
No, it's a great show. I appreciate being part of it.
Well, thank you very much. And we appreciate you to be part of it as well. By the way, speaking of it, if you want to, if you're watching it right now, of course, then you know where you found me. But we're on Spotify, we're on YouTube, we're on the Apple, we're everywhere, you know, and the listenership is growing and growing, which is great. And I really appreciate it. Just remember, if you like the show, or even if you don't like the show, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe. Very simple. And that helps everybody. I understand how it helps people so other people can find it. And with that in mind, if there's anything that anybody else has to say right now, this would be the time before we say goodbye to the world.
All right. Thank you.
In a positive way. You know, we're not going to say goodbye forever. We're only going to say goodbye until next week. I heard that friends never say goodbye. So, you know, we'll see you again next week. So just remember, this is our current event show. Invite your friends to participate as well. If anybody has an opinion, this is a great place to share it. You make it happen. So make it happen. And we will see you again next week. Same time, same place. And remember, everything you heard today was an opinion, so do your own research, and we will see you again next week. Thanks a lot for watching and listening, and we will talk again next week. And until then, make it happen and have a great week. And we are off the air.